This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
trust you. You call our name. Where you lead us, we follow all the way. Raise your hands, all you nations. Shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise you together, now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Oh, you worship Jesus. We will praise you, Jesus, our Savior. You are the Lord. Sing hallelujah. 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 How awesome.
You are Lord of all. Darkness in your eyes. There's no question in your mind, God Almighty, God of mercy. There's no hiding from your face. There's no striving in your grace, God of mercy, God Almighty. Let there be light, open the eyes of the blind, purify our hearts in your fire. Breathe in us, we pray. Jesus, have your way. There's no border in your love, no division in your heart, God of heaven, God of freedom. There's no taking back the cross. Thank you. just to know who you are. Shine in us, we pray. Jesus, have your way. You are Jesus, have your way. 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 There's no darkness in your way, so have your way. Lord, have your way. And let the light that shines above become the light that shines in us. There's no darkness in your way, so have your way. Lord, have your way.
Have your way, Lord. Your plans, not our plans. Not our clever way of thinking. But your way and your plan, Father, in your will. Thank you for your presence over here, Father, this afternoon. Thank you that you are God, that you want to be our Father, and that you're with us today. That you're with us each and every day. You're never far away. We always can speak to you. You're always available, irrespective of our circumstances. We can come to you. If we feel good or bad, we can come to you, always available. Father, as we're going to listen now to what you want to share with us today, there are going to be things which are going to try to distract us, but we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. There's not going to be any spirit which is going to disturb this sermon this afternoon, who's trying to distract us, which is trying to steal of the words, which is trying to steal of the seed which is going to be sown this afternoon, Father. I draw a ring of fire around this place, and I command and I instruct any unclean spirit which doesn't belong over here in the name of Jesus Christ. You're out of this ring, and you're not going to come back, and you're not going to disturb the sermon. This is an appointment, a meeting, an encounter, what we've got. The creator of heaven and earth, who we can call Father, who has got a plan for us and for the world, in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel that the Lord wants to speak to us this afternoon about prophecy, and he wants to speak through prophecy as well. And if there's anyone who's got a word or a picture what you got during worship, what you would like to share with us now, then I'm giving the opportunity now that you can share it with us. If you've got a picture, if you've got a word during worship, would you feel what has got to be shared with the congregation, which is for us, because that's what a prophecy is. It's for edifying us over here. Then I'm going to ask you to come and share it.
During intercession, I felt God is saying there's a new level, there's a new season, and I didn't really understand. And while worshiping, God just said, you must wave the flags. And I'm so glad there were two others, because God told me all the colors. And so it was a struggle to get through them. I didn't manage, but luckily I had some support. But I feel that God is saying the banners that we read in the Bible, the banners were raised. It was a sign in war when people... they didn't have microphones or WhatsApps on to tell, okay, at 5:10 we're going to attack. So they looked at the banner guy. So if he puts up the red banner, they know, okay, either, I don't know what it meant, but say attack, or the yellow one is hold back, or the white one is peace, or whatever. So they would attack the banner man, because if the banner man can be dead, then there's confusion in the camp. And I just felt God said, the banners must be shown, and all of them, I don't know, I don't think it's confusion. I just felt it's part of the rainbow that Eunice got before the sermon. It is part of God's kingdom. Just raise the banner. Just raise what God is telling you. We are multicolored. In that sense, we are gifted in different ways and areas, and God has put us together, and bring it, because this is how God's kingdom is going to rise up.
Thanks a lot, Renee. I'm going to start with showing a picture of somebody who's painted it, and it's a prophetic picture for the Shofar Church, and we're going to come back later to that picture, but just have a look at it. We can see the angels and the lion and the G clef, am I correct with the musical term? The lamp, the shofar, the candle with the seven lights, what we spoke about last week. The continents of the world, we can see the waves, we can see people surfing. We can see multitudes of people walking on dry sand. And then we can also see the one guy giving directions, but he's standing on a rock. And it was a picture which was given to somebody, and he painted that as a prophecy for the Shofar Church. You can see the shofar, of course, also in the middle of the picture as well. And that was a message which was brought to a person, and a person was obedient by painting it and bringing it to the church, which is a very important, because Esther just now did exactly the same. She was obedient. She could have kept quiet and said, I don't want to take the microphone, that's not for me, and I'm not paid for that, and I'm not good in it. But she was obedient. And that's very important, that we are obedient. If God is giving us a word, if God is giving us a prophecy, and we have got to share it with somebody else. Because the prophecy is showing that God has got a plan. God is speaking through the prophets in the Old Testament, the big prophets and the smaller prophets, not in statue, but in length of books, and what they've seen and how important they were. And God is revealing his plans then through prophecies of what he wants to do and where he's going to and what is going to happen in future. And that is God's plan. And first I want to just have a look and see how important it is that we've got to obey God's plan. We can come with our own plan. We can have strategic planning, and we can do a lot of stuff. When I at a certain time did a type of a test, the point which come out what I was best in was strategic management. And when I started with the church, you actually have got to drop it totally. You've got to throw it away in the dustbin, burn it, because you can only rely on God. That's the only thing what you can do with the church. You cannot start thinking, okay, this is the growth and this, that, and no, simply doesn't work. We've got to work according to what plan, what God is telling us. And a part of what I would like to come to just now in Psalm 33, but I just wanted to start with Psalm 33, and it's for me actually so awesome to see that other people are picking it up already beforehand, and that they want to shout, and that they want to be joyful about God, where it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp." It doesn't say keyboard, it doesn't say guitar, anything over here. "Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings," which is most probably a harp, am I correct? Most probably. "Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with shout of joy." We don't have to be keep quiet and stand here. We can lift our hands. We can shout. If we're going to be in heaven, we're not going to sit around a coffee table and sipping coffee and having cookies over there. No, we're going to have joy over there. We're going to have fun over there. We're going to shout, and it's going to be awesome over there. Because we're going to be God-focused, because it's joy in the Lord. It's going to be fresh, because it also says we're going to sing a new song. We're not going to sing the old songs again and again, but we're going to sing new songs, what we've made ourselves. And the worship is also that it's going to be loud. It's going to be shouting. We're going to scream. We're going to, what's on our heart. If you watch any type of game, it doesn't matter if it is soccer, if it's rugby, or the guys, how they can scream and shout and lift their hands and show that they are agreeing or disagreeing with the ref or anything like that. I wish those guys could come into church and show the same feelings, enthusiasm over here as well. That would be awesome, that we could have those type of reflections of how they feel. And it also says joyful. We've got to have joy. We've got to have a smile on our face. We cannot sing like that. Praise the Creator of heaven and earth, who wants to be our Father and who we've got a relationship with. And the people are called forward to come and to praise God. And we may be not always feeling good. We may be suffering. We may be discouraged. We may be brokenhearted or confused or maybe sad. But they shout out of joy. That doesn't matter anymore how we feel. What is more important, we're going to praise God and sing for him. And then the psalmist also talks a little bit about the characters of God, that God is a speaking God, he's a sovereign God, and he's a seeing God, and he's also a saving God. And then the verse where I actually would like to come to is 10 and 11. "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of his heart to all generations." We can have plans. We can have and make millions of plans. But God's plan is superseding our plans. And the best and the easiest is, go to God first and ask him what is his plan. Much shorter, much easier. And once you do what God is telling you to do, you also have got contentness. You're not worrying anymore, am I doing it correct or am I not doing it correct? If God told you that, then you do it, and then you know this is what God's will is. Because God's plans are higher than our plans. And God has got a plan which is from beginning to end. If we've got a plan, the plan is only for a short period. But God has got a plan for the whole period. Now, how much more do we have to go then to the one who's got a plan for everything, instead of only creating a small plan for a short period for ourselves? 16 and 18. "No king is saved by a multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope of safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength." We can try and put a lot of effort in it. We can put a lot of money in it. We can put a lot of horses in it. In all terms, we can try and use a lot of strength. It's not going to help. God is much stronger than that. So even if we come with our plans, even if we come with and try to force it down with a lot of force, if it's not God's plan, it's not going to work. And then it finishes off that Psalm 33, 20 and 22. "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you." And then he concludes, he invites them to come and to praise God. Then he is talking about the plans which are not going to succeed, and then he's coming to that conclusion at the end. Put our trust in God. He's a merciful God whom we've got to trust. And that's what he's got to do, or that's what we've got to do. And it's also what's making us happy, and which is going to make us also, I should say, fulfilled, if we think less about what we're trying to do, but if we're more focused on what God wants to say to us. The prophet what I would like to speak a little bit about this afternoon is Habakkuk. It is a prophet, one of the small prophets. And when I was reading that book again, it's so awesome to see that he's communicating with God. He's got a relationship. He's got a living relationship with God. And how that is reflected in the book of Habakkuk. Because Habakkuk is mentioned in the book of Habakkuk, but nowhere else in the Bible has his name been mentioned. And his name actually means embrace, giving a hug. And somewhere he had a link with music, because at the end it says musical director, which means or he was a musical director or he was a Levite, which were responsible for the priest and for the worshipping task in the temple. Somebody knew something about music. That's maybe also why he finished off with the song as well. The time what it was just before the Babylonians came, and then they conquered Judah and Jerusalem. And it's actually in a time that three times that they came, Nebuchadnezzar came, where he came then from the with the Babylonian people. Because it was in that time when the Babylonian kingdom of empire was growing and the Assyrian power and the Assyrian empire was decreasing. And they came three times. They came in 605 before Christ, because he went to Egypt, and on his way back he demolished Judah. And then he took also Daniel and his friends. And you can read it in the book, in the beginning of Daniel, you can read it. He took them along back to Babylonian. So those where we can see that this is not an isolated book, you can see the links with other books as well. In 597 he came again, Nebuchadnezzar, and then he destroyed the inside of the temple, and then he took Ezekiel along. And then 587 before Christ, he went again, and then he totally destroyed the temple and totally destroyed Jerusalem. So he's been there three times, Nebuchadnezzar, to punish those people over there. And the message is, what Habakkuk is actually writing over there is, you would think he was going to write to those people who were backslidden in Judah, but he's actually writing to those people who are left over, who are a remnant. Like we are a remnant over here. If we take a look at the amount of people in Utrecht, how few people are we actually who've got a relationship with God, who are not ashamed of it. We're only a few of us in this big town over here. I would like to start with Habakkuk 1, and then the first sentence, it says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. So he was looking around, what was happening over there? And then he could see that the people were socially, they were corrupt, and they had spiritual rebellion as well. Those people were doing all against what God wants them to do. They were doing it their own way. And then the prophet is asking a question to God. He says, O Lord, verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. She's actually asking, God, why are you not doing something? You can see these people over there who are not obeying your word. Why are you not doing something? And in verse 4 it carries on. Therefore the law is powerless, that is the law from Moses, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, and therefore perverse judgment proceeds. So the wicked ones, they're getting everything sorted out. They're even around what it says, it surround the righteous ones, the ones who've got a right relationship and standing in a right relationship with God, and who put their trust in God. That they've got problems that the wicked ones are stronger as what the righteous ones are. And God is replying to him in verse 5. Then he says, look among the nations and watch. And he's saying over there, take a look at what's happening over there. You see the Assyrians now, the empire is decreasing, and the Babylonians are increasing. They're becoming bigger over there. be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed, I'm raising up the Chaldeans. Now, Chaldeans was a tribe inside the Babylonians. So God is saying over here, I'm going to use the Babylonians, a bitter and a hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. So God is revealing his plan. He's telling what he's, the plan what he's got to this prophet. He's saying, he already got a plan to punish Judah for the sins, and that he's going to use an unmerciful and an ungodly Babylonian people to punish Judah. And that must have been shocking, and I think it was shocking for Habakkuk, because you think, okay, the Lord is maybe going to come with pest or anything like that and kill half of the population or something like that, what we could have read in the Old Testament as well. But then God is saying, I'm using a wicked nation to punish the Judean people who are not walking according to my law anymore. And then a prophet comes with a second question, with a second complaint. And he's actually questioning God's plan. He's putting a question mark behind it. He said, Lord, what are you doing now? Where are you going to? What do you want actually to happen? And then he says, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devour a person more righteous than he? And he's saying then to God, but you can see everything. You can see all these things. Why are you still using the Babylonians? Isn't there not another way of doing it? And then he finishes off his second question, his second complaint. He finishes off with a type of, okay, what I'm going to do is I will stand in my watch and must set myself on the rampant and watch to see that he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. So he basically comes with a second question, with a second complaint, and then he says, okay, now I'm going to watch. I'm going to stand and watch and set myself on the rampant. Now we will maybe think, okay, it's a type of a wall, and he maybe had a lookout that he could see, then that he was a type of a watchman, that he could look into the field and see if something was coming or not. But this is spiritual. So what he was doing is he was basically going to the place where he's always meeting God. He was going to his quiet place. And then the second part of what he's saying there, and set myself on the rampart. A rampart means that he's protected. And we've got to do it as well, as what Habakkuk was doing there. If we're going to seek God's face, we've got to a place where we can communicate with God. And sometimes it's difficult. The surroundings are not correct. For some people, it's very easy to talk to God in the train. For others, like me, I want to be totally on my own. It works for me the best. But then it says, and set myself on a rampart. Put a fence around you. And we've got to do it exactly the same as well. We've got to bind whatever powers there are that are not going to influence the conversation, what we're going to have with God. That we put a fence around us, as I just now prayed as well, that we draw a circle around us, that we can protect ourselves, that we are ready to receive and to communicate with God. And then God is going to speak to us. It can be an audible voice, which of us, I don't know if any one of you ever had such a type of experience that you heard an audible voice. It's sometimes a small voice, which is impressing things on your mind. And it can also be a type of a vision by the Spirit or an impression. And it can also be a prophecy, something which God is putting on your heart, which you've got to share with the other people, as what Esther did at the beginning of the sermon. And then God is answering on the second question, on the second complaint of Habakkuk. And then he says, then the Lord answered me and said, write this vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will tarry. And it happened. God's plan came. Three times they came, the Babylonians, and they punished for Judah. They punished for Jerusalem. They wiped out the temple over there. But 66 years later, the Babylonians, they also received their own punishment. So God is using at certain times certain people who they didn't exist before and they didn't exist after. It's only on that period what they existed, but God used them then. And then it finishes off there in Habakkuk 2 verses 4, which is a verse which is for a lot of us maybe well known. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. And the just are the ones who've got a right relationship with God, who've got a living relationship with God, who are doing what God is wanting them to do according to God's standard. And they're continuously trusting in God and they're clinging on God, what God is telling them to do. Even in the darkest days, they do not walk away from God. Those are the ones who are just, and they shall live by faith. And live by faith, Paul has used it in the Romans, and he also used it in Galatians, and then in the Hebrews letter, it was also used by faith. So we can see that what Habakkuk has been saying at that time has been used by other people afterwards there as well. Then in verse 2 from 6 to 20, he's talking about the woes to the wicked. He's talking about the Babylonians, what they're doing wrong. And it's a whole list, and I don't want to spend your time with it. But then he's also at a certain time, in verses 18 and 19, he's condemning the idols of the Babylonians. And he says, what profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its molds should trust in it to make mute idols. Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it's overlaid with gold and silver, yet in there is no breath at all. He's making a joke about that wood, about the stone. Even if you put gold or silver over it, it still remains dead. There's no life in it because there's no breath in it. There is no life in it. And what he's saying over there is that God is living. God has got breath. He started with it. He blew breath into Adam's nostrils. He started life. That's where we've got to put our trust in. Because we serve a living God. And then in Habakkuk 2 verses 20, he finishes off over there and he says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Habakkuk started with questioning God. God's answered him that God was going to use the Babylonians to punish the people from Judah. And then Habakkuk questioned it again, and he said that he was also discontent with God's plan, that God was using a wicked nation to punish now a less wicked nation. But then he finishes with 20. So he has had his complaints, but then he finishes off with the Lord in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. And he expresses there that he recognizes that it's God's sovereignty over there. God is above all. He's above all the plans. And then once Habakkuk is finished over there, he starts with a prayer. And he's asking God, God, what you've done with all the people coming out of Egypt, what you've shown over there, all the miracles, can't you show them again? Can't you do exactly the same again? And then he finishes with a song. Let me first do the prayer, the prophet's prayer, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shichyonot. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. So he's asking then, God, please do exactly the same again as what you did with the exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt. And then Habakkuk finishes with a song. Once he's done this whole conversation, now where he's been in a dispute, I nearly want to say, with God, he says, God, you are higher than everything. I'm putting my trust in you. And then he says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make my walk on high hills. And then it says at the end there, to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. He's saying there in verse 19, the Lord is my strength, the same is what the psalmist was saying over there in Psalm 33 as well, when he had a look at God's plan. He's putting his trust in God. God is my strength. So the prophet who started his prayer with fear and trembling is actually finishing off with joy and with triumph. We touched a little bit on prophecy, and just now we're going to do a little bit more on that. And then we had a look at Psalm 33 about God and his plans and our plans. And then we had a look about Habakkuk, where we most probably can associate with as well. That we also sometimes say to God, but this plan is totally weird. How can this work? How can you do this or how can you do that? But like Habakkuk, at the final end, he came and he said, God, you're supreme. You're above all. It's your plan, not my plan. And we also have got our own plans for this world. A lot of times, and I've got to include myself as well, we are comparing ourselves with other people, what other people have got. The house we've got, the car they've got, the dress they've got, the way they look like, and so on and so on. We take a look at the things what they've got, but we know it's only for a period. But what we actually should do is, we shouldn't compare, we should share. We should tell them what we've got, which has got eternal value, which is much more important, which is much better as what they've got, which is only for a short period. So we've got to, instead of our plans, compare and try and see if we can lift ourselves in comparison with others. We've got to share whom we are serving, and that's a God which has got eternal value. I'm not going to ask that the communion symbols are going to be distributed. Service is not over yet. I'm going to ask those who are going to distribute the symbols of the communion that you maybe can distribute it. The communion, what we're doing, is a reminder of the salvation, a reminder of the relationship what we've got with God. And if you've got that relationship with God, then you're invited to join us with the communion, what we're doing at the moment. And if you're here and you say, but I've never taken that decision, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I've never repented of those sins which I've done, and I've never said to God, you're my Father, you are the creator of heaven and earth, and you've never invited the Holy Spirit as your helper. And if you're here this afternoon and you say, but I've never taken that decision, then I'm inviting you to raise your hand. Once we've prepared ourselves now, where we are reminded of that relationship what we've got with God, and one, if we've got any sins what we had, what we could repent of, what we could clean between us and God, we prepared ourselves, because I feel we've got to go further than this, that we're going to ask God that he wants to speak through us into other people's lives, that we're going to prophesy this afternoon. And what I'm going to ask the worship team, that they're going to come and that they're going to sing the song of Habakkuk. And I'm going to ask you, I've just given the words to them. They didn't write any tune or whatever. So I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit that there is going to be a tune which is working through it. I'm going to ask you, and that you're going to sing it, and that you can understand what Habakkuk was writing. It doesn't matter which circumstances I'm at the moment, but that I can rejoice because I know who God is. And that we also can ask, and I'm going to pray just now, that God is going to use us to prophesy. And I'm maybe going to be a little specific this afternoon. I'm going to ask that those people who normally do not get any words or any vision, and I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to give you words and visions this afternoon, that you can come forward and that you can share it. As Renee said, that we can enter a new season in your spiritual life, that we can enter into a new season into your relationship with God, that God can speak through you into other people's lives. As what God was speaking through Habakkuk in the people around him, in a remnant around him, that God can use us to speak into the remnant which is here in Utrecht. To help you a little bit with that, we're going to, after the musicians have sang the song, we're going to have a look at that picture again of the beginning. And if there's something in the picture which you say, but God is saying something to me, or I see something in it, then please come forward that you're going to share it with us. And I'm asking with respect that those people who haven't got a problem, to hear from God. Just wait a little bit. I'm trusting that God is going to work through those who battle it normally to receive from God, who are not getting any words. And if it's something that a certain word is coming into your mind and you don't know what it means, come forward, share it. Somebody else is going to link up on that one, I can guarantee you. But it's just that step what you've got to do, that faithful step that you've got to come forward and that you've got to share it. God wants to work through us. We've heard this from Esther at the beginning of the sermon. And that we're going to bless each other, because that's what a prophecy is, that we're going to bless each other with what God wants to speak to us. If you ever receive a prophecy that somebody is speaking, a prophecy over you in your personal capacity, confirm it with God. That this is what the person is saying, this is this for you. Is that what God is, what the person is saying he received or she received from God? Double check it with God in your personal quiet time. Is this what the person is saying? Is that for me? Is that correct or is it not correct? Don't run from one prophecy, what the person is saying to you, to another one, to another one, to another one. Double check with God, please.
Take joy in the God of my salvation.
Let's repeat that.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God. And I will take joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength. Will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hill.
Bake it all from the fold.
I will take joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. Make me walk on my highest. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength.
Time or you don't come up often, so I just feel the Lord encouraging you that your message is not too small or If you can't find the words, trust me, if you're obedient and you take the mic, you will get the words. So I'm just going to put it out there.
I was like wondering why, and it was not, let's say, clear. And I was like, okay, no, I'm gonna wait for a confirmation. But when I saw the picture again, I was like, no, it's that's the confirmation. So basically, we were in a, like, the children of God was in a big boat, and all of them were just like in this water, and there was a big, like, it's a big wave. And at some point, basically, this dove come out with an olive in the mouth. And I didn't understand what it means, but I guess that God is just saying that the children of God are in a tempest, which is this word, and that he is going to give direction, and he's going to send us to a place where we are going to find peace and this olive. I'm not exactly sure what it means, but yeah, I'm just being obedient.
We've put up the picture again, and if you see certain things in the picture, would you feel that there's something with a message for Shofar Utrecht where you feel that the Lord is saying to you, then please come forward and share it with us. When I saw this picture, and I saw the G clef at the top, this is the way that God is looking for us. If we take a look, the blue-eyed boy of God, David, what did he do? He wrote psalms. This is what God is looking for. We must praise his name. It's going through music. It must be part of our life. It must be part of the relationship that we've got with God as well.
I just feel God is putting a song in someone's heart, and he must come and sing it.
Do you ever have that moment where you're like almost mad at God for making you do something? Yeah, because I'm not a singer, and I hate singing, and I hate being in front of people, so... But when I was home for Christmas in Kenya, I really don't know where I'm going in life, but I told God that I will follow you and you're where you lead. And I have a small, it's called a thumb drum or thumb piano or kalimba, and you can make simple songs on it. And I wrote a song over Christmas that I guess I will sing. I'm just preparing you. This will be super awkward. but also a little background. It, I'll explain the words afterwards. But it goes a bit like, I will follow you, I will follow to the ends of the earth. I will follow you, I will follow to the ends of the earth. I will follow you. So yeah, and when I see, actually I was thinking when Yolandi said that someone has a song on their heart, I was actually looking at the picture and seeing how it's, yeah, it has the whole world in it, and was singing that song in my head, so yeah.
Your love rushed in, where sin runs deep.
Your grace runs deeper for all enslaved. The ransom paid, light of the world. Yours is the power where there was sin. Your love rushed in where sin runs deep. Your grace runs deeper for all enslaved. The ransom paid.
I hear the Lord asking, how long do we tarry in His presence? Like there are people who just pray for 15 minutes and then they are off. And some pray on Sunday and then they don't pray for the whole week. So the Lord doesn't speak to me with the pictures, because I see a lot of pictures and I can't really know which one and what it means. So I get verses. So I got a verse in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, from verse 14. Now Elisha was suffering from an illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried. The chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared, you will completely destroy Aramians at the Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. Then the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated the Aramites and completely destroyed them. But now you will defeat it only three times. So, the longer you tarry, the longer the victory. Yes. So, if you pray for 15 minutes, your victory will be less. So, God bless you.
Thank you. Cool. We're going to carry on two more songs. So,
is that okay?
If you need to leave, you can. And there's tea and coffee as well in the foyer. But we just want to finish it off. And if you need prayer, you can come forward as well. If there's anything that you feel to respond to, or anything else besides.
What's if you have pain or sickness, come, let's pray.
Everybody knows me?
I stay in the same team, but if I also feel like there are some empty hearts God really likes to fill. So so if anybody feels that's for you, please come forward and we'll pray for you.
Well, since I was invited, not many people coming here, or this is my second time visiting, so I take the invite. So this afternoon I was just went for a stroll, and it's beautiful sunshine, winter's morning, a day we had, and I was on this in a little path, and it was the first time I was walking there, and I didn't know how long it was going to take. It was a kind of a circular route, and then all of a sudden there's a little route that kind of diverted. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I was looking on my app, and all of a sudden, but just before I reached that point, I was actually praying for God just to speak to me also. And actually then I saw this path, and I was like, but that's a very narrow, small path. And you can see where this is going. and as I decided, you know what, this is actually, and everybody's on this kind of nicely tarred little path. And this was muddy and it was messy, and well, there was a chance of it at the beginning looked okay. And then as I took it, the Lord just dropped that message in my heart and said, you know, narrow is the path of righteousness. Narrow is the path that leads to salvation. And when I was sitting there, the vision just came back in me. So I just want to give this to everybody here. You know, you may ask yourself, you know, why did God call me onto this path? Why is He calling me onto this path? And while I was praying this all for myself, God just said, why? Because I'm calling you to walk this path. I've called you to walk this. You know what? You're not alone on this path. I'm walking beside you. Look to your left, look to your right, and you'll see me. I'm there to carry you. So I just want to give this to you. Maybe some of you also then, you know, why is this path so tough? It's messy. It's alone. It's, you know, so be encouraged by it. Amen.
I have something to link up to that, because I saw a picture of a person walking through the mud, and it was like spiritually mud, of course, and it was continuously, everything in that person's life felt like a drag, and it was God showing that there's actually this mud, and then there was like this nice, beautiful, new, fresh grass starting, and God was saying, but just, yeah, that feels so much nicer. You know, it's like, and the person was barefooted as well. And I don't know if you ever walked barefooted over very new grass with a little bit of damp on it. It just feels so nice. And it was actually God saying that, I want you to come from the heaviness into the lightness, from the dragging on and the difficulties to a place where it's actually easier and nicer. And it doesn't mean that your life is completely different all of a sudden, but walking is so much easier if you walk over grass than through dragging through the mud. So if that is you, come forward.
Precious blood of Jesus.
mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Hello, everyone. Wow, what happened today is just beautiful. And just a lot of confirmations, and I was so encouraged personally. I was really, really encouraged. And actually today I just felt like, should I go to church? But I guess the Lord had something for me today, and he just spoke through Esther And it's true that the Lord does sharpen his diamonds. And I'm going through a season where, you know, when you're fighting an internal battle, I can only imagine how Gideon felt when the Lord told him to go destroy the idols in his father's house. And so when the Lord does speak to you, sometimes it's like, because of recently he's been telling me, just worship. It's a season of worshiping. And he tells me that he's with me, but it's in that season, it's hard to believe. But I do see the power of the body of Christ. I do see the power of union and not forsaking the gathering of the brethren. And yesterday I was actually with Lisa, and I'm like, Lisa, I just feel like the Lord is just saying we should worship in Shofar. And today we actually had a worship session together, and I'm like, this is just what I feel about the church. And it's so true, and I just felt the love of God, and I was just encouraged, and I really thank God for the body of Christ. And he's calling us onto a higher purpose. And whoever's going through whatever they're going through, just know that the Lord of God says, rejoice in your suffering, for in every toil there is gain, which means that whatever you're going through, the Lord just wants to prepare you for where he's taking you. And so, yeah, be encouraged. And I'm so happy. Yeah, I'm so encouraged today. Yeah, and let's worship the Lord.
Cool. We're going to finish off in a praise song. We felt it's only right. So if you're still here and you're keen, you have energy, I don't know if the prayer people want to move to a quieter place. But yeah, anyways, we're going to do it. We're going to close off the evening with a nice praise song. So stand up if you want to join us, and let's do it. Yeah.
When the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. sing, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free to shout it out.
Father, we thank you for this time, and we bless your holy name, Father. And we say that you are worthy and worthy to be praised, and you are praised upon our words that we sing, Father. And we thank you for this time, and we glorify you. And Father, we thank you that there's restoration, and we thank you that there's breakthrough and chains are broken, and that our sin is no more, but your grace is enough, Father. And we praise you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.